All right, you can take your Bibles, go to Judges chapter 3. I'm sure that's a pretty clean section in your Bible. Judges chapter 3, Joshua judges Ruth. First and second, remember back in the day, we're dating ourselves, but one of the first assignments in our quest for biblical understanding was to memorize the books of the Bible. You remember that, Victoria? Yeah. Genesis, I won't go through them, but it's a good thing to know the books of the Bible. But I'll be honest with you, sometimes I still have to look in the index. And, you know, the electronic age, of course, we can look things up in a moment of time. But we're going to Judges chapter 3. The title of my teaching tonight is God Left-Handed? And I want to start this sharing with a story. And it's about little Bobby. Well, little Bobby was spending the weekend with his grandmother after a particularly trying week in kindergarten. His grandmother decided to take him to the park on Saturday morning. It had been snowing all night. Everything was beautiful. And his grandmother remarked, "Doesn't it look like an artist painted this scenery? Did you know God painted this just for you?" Bobby said, "Yes, God did it, and he did it left-handed." This confused his grandmother a bit, and she asked him, "Well, what makes you say that God did this with his left hand?" "Well," said Bobby, "we learned at Sunday school last week that Jesus sits on God's right hand." So, cute, huh? Well, I don't know if any of you out there are left-handed. I am, and maybe there's some others of you out there. But and sometimes the Bible uses the right hand symbolically to represent favor or honor. I'm sure you've heard this. And that may have led to a negative interpretation of the left hand. But it's certainly symbolic and not a literal condemnation of being left-handed. And despite the symbolic prominence of the right hand, the Bible specifically mentions left-handed people in either a neutral or a positive context, particularly when describing their military abilities or prowess. And so we're going to look in Judges chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 12, because one of the most prominent examples in the Bible is a gentleman by the name of Ehud, E-H-U-D, and he was a judge chosen by God to deliver the Israelites from the Moabites. And we pick up the record here in Judges chapter 3, verse 12. "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because he had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Jerah, a Benjaminite, a man," what? "Left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit's length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very, very large," the word says, "fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, 'I have a secret errand unto thee, O king,' who said, 'Keep silent.' And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, 'I have a message from God unto thee.' And he rose out of his seat. Ehud put forth his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, thrust it into his belly, and the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and dirt came out, it says. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked it. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in the summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key, opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Siroth. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he was before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan towards Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor, and there were escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land of Israel had rest 80 years. That is quite an interesting record. That's 80 years after 80 years. That is quite an interesting record. That God had really, because they were disobedient, obviously, and weren't listening to God, God took his hand of blessing upon them and gave them over to their enemies, and the enemies enslaved these people for quite a lengthy period of time. And then all of a sudden, here's this man, Ehud. And, you know, it's interesting to see that his left-handedness gave him a strategic advantage, allowing him to conceal a weapon on his right thigh where no one was expecting that to happen, especially the guards that were surrounding this leader of this other tribe. And so this is a great example of someone who God worked with and utilized his left-handedness to really bring about a great deliverance for Israel. And it said the land had rest 80 years. You know, what's fascinating and, you know, kind of startling in some ways is that there were so much physical fighting and killing and this sort of thing that went on in the Old Testament times, conquering neighboring tribes conquering Israel, back and forth it went. And yet today we're still in a battle, aren't we? And honestly, it probably doesn't matter if you're left-handed or right-handed, because the spiritual battle that we're in is one with our adversary, the devil, of which Jesus came to make known, right?
And defeat.
And defeat. So he made known God, and he also exposed the two spiritual kingdoms, the god of this world, the devil, Satan, who has continued to blind the minds of those who don't believe, but... You know, before Jesus came and exposed who the enemy was, people had no idea. And they were fighting a physical enemy. Well, guess what? Now we fight a spiritual enemy who cannot be seen. I also want to look at one more record in Judges chapter 20. We're going to stay right here in Judges. Judges chapter 20. Because there's a record where the Bible mentions a contingent, a group of 700 Benjamite soldiers, kind of like special forces. And guess what? They were all left-handed. And they were famous for their accuracy with a sling. So let's look at this verse here. Judges 20:16. Yeah. You can read the context at some point in time if you like. Verse 16 says, among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones as at a hair's breadth, and not miss. You think these were pretty talented individuals, would you call them like special forces? I guess that was the weapon of choice at that point in time, using a sling. That seems to remind me kind of something David did, right? Mm-hmm. He was pretty good at slinging a stone. Well, it just so happened there were 700 chosen men who were all left-handed, and they were famous for their accuracy. And there's another instance where Benjamite warriors who joined David are described as being ambidextrous, capable of using both hands effectively. That record's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 2. It's kind of ironic that the Benjamin name, the Benjaminite name, means son of the right hand. And yet, the Benjamites were the people in which these left-handed people were found and had this military advantage. That still holds true today in many athletic events. People who are left-handed, baseball pitchers, other types of events, people who don't necessarily use the predominant hand, of which, I don't know, 90% of all the population is probably right-handed, something like that. So when you're using the other hand, it kind of can confuse people. And obviously it did in some of these situations where military strength was needed. So, kind of summarizing this, the biblical records, they really don't suggest that left-handedness was seen as immoral or an inferior trait, but rather it comes to light that it was rather a distinguishing characteristic. And some have been noted as saying that the phrase describing Ehud and the Benjamites could literally mean impeded of his right hand, which might suggest a deliberate training practice rather than a disability. And this training could have been intended to give warriors an advantage by making them unpredictable in combat. If you've ever met somebody who's ambidextrous and they use both hands equally well, it's a very sort of an unusual thing. I always love seeing baseball players who could bat right-handed and left-handed. I would call them ambidextrous batters and hitters. But it's interesting because in baseball, especially, they put in certain types of pitchers to face certain types of batters. But if you can switch hit, that means you could change the direction based on the type of pitcher. So, again, to summarize, the Bible doesn't condemn left-handedness. And rather, it does show at least the records that we've looked in where left-handedness was not only a valuable asset, but an even critical asset. So, little Bobby in Sunday school learned that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, and therefore God is working diligently with his left hand. Amen. So you guys are awesome. Heavenly Father, thank you for just the joy and privilege of being able to get into just the beauty of your word and how sweet it is, Father. We can be lighthearted and just enjoy the things that you teach us and show us. And I thank you, God, that we know who we are, where we are, what we're doing and where we're going, whatever hand we use. And I just pray that we can enjoy the blessings of freedom and liberty we have in this country and because of what Christ accomplished, spiritual freedom. Thank you, God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.